Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Today, President Obama announced more than $240 million in pledges from the private sector to get more students interested in studying science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM for short. The president also issued a challenge to Congress to beef up funding for science.
So it's not enough for us to just lift up young people and say, great job, way to go. You also have to have labs to go to, and you've got to be able to support yourself while you're doing this amazing research. And that involves us as a society making the kind of investments that are going to be necessary for us to continue to innovate for many, many years to come.
President Obama speaking today at the White House Science Fair, where more than 35 student teams are exhibiting their science projects. Meanwhile, high school seniors across the country today may be constantly refreshing their email or rushing to get the mail when it arrives because they are getting responses from the colleges they've applied to, finding out if they got in to their dream schools or not. It's the end of a long process that starts when they're sophomores and take the preliminary SAT or PSAT, a test that is about to change. Lisa Maselli is director of college counseling at the University of Illinois Laboratory High School in Urbana, Illinois, my high school. She joins us from WILL to tell us more. Lisa, welcome back.
Thank you, Jeremy. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, let's talk about the changes coming to the PSAT. What kinds of changes?
You know, the PSAT is going to be brand new this October 2015, which is going to be the launch of a full-length test for the students to see what the redesigned SAT will eventually look like in March. So it's going to have two sections. It's going to be math and evidence-based reading and writing. It's going to be scored 200 and 800 on both of those sections with a maximum score of 1600, which is going to be aligned with how the SAT is going to be rescored in March back to 1600. There's still going to be no essay. So the juniors in October don't have to worry about writing an essay. There's nothing like that on the exam. But it is getting longer. There's 2 hours and 45 minutes now versus 2 hours and 10 minutes. And calculators aren't going to be required on all parts of the exam, things like that. I would be encouraging sophomores and their parents right now to go to the College Board website. It's deliveringopportunity.org. And that site has everything. It has what did PSAT look like before? What does it look like now? So I would always say go right to the source. College Board is the place to go right now.
Well, and we'll link to that at our website, hereandnow.org. But why are they doing this? Why are they making these changes?
The word relevance keeps coming up. We want everything to be more relevant to a high school student. We want it to be aligned with the curriculum. We want students to realize that the best preparation for these exams, instead of thinking about how to strategize and beat tests, is to take a rigorous curriculum. So I do think the College Board is trying to say, look, to prepare for these, take a rigorous curriculum and make sure that you use all of our resources and you go online and take advantage of all these ways to prepare that aren't really going to cost kids money anymore. I would say as soon as high school counselors, or even if they go to College Board and find this on their own, as soon as these PDFs are going to be released to us, which is supposed to be a full-length practice test for the PSAT, those are things that the class of 2017 should be taking advantage of. There's nothing better you can do than to actually take full-length exams and time yourself, pace yourself, and realize that, you know, you've got to go through it to actually understand the stamina you need and how to actually go through all the sections. A change that's going to be happening is that they're not going to be penalizing students for guessing anymore. So you used to actually have points subtracted from your score for wrong answers. That's actually not going to be the case. So I do think one thing that I'll be talking with my families about is while now you don't have that pressure that you're losing points if your answer is wrong, I don't want kids to rely on that too much and almost just not go deep and focus, knowing they can rely on just filling in the bubbles. Because I do think sometimes when that pressure is off you, you sometimes might, you know, get a little bit too easy on it. And I do think that the elimination of those points is going to be helpful to kids, but I still want them to focus and take every question as seriously as they can.
Now, you say that this is happening ahead of changes to the SAT, and I wonder why is the SAT changing yet again? They recently went from 1,600 as the top score up to 2,400. Now it's changing again.
Yeah. 2005 was the last change that the SAT saw, and we could go on and on about whether or not these scores are actually doing what they're intended to do, But I do think that the College Board is trying to help align it with curriculum and say, let's think about what you're learning in the high school. Let's make it more relevant to you. Let's have things less obscure and more relevancy so that you feel like a rigorous curriculum is really the solid preparation that you need to do well on these exams.
How many practice tests would you recommend people take before they take the real thing?
You know, I kind of fall in the camp where I don't know if I like students practicing and worrying about these exams for months and months and months. Sometimes when you look at a testing schedule and you're mapping out when you want to test, maybe going back 2 months and thinking, what can I do in a consistent pattern so that my full effort is going to be consistent? I think about my treadmill sitting in my room. I bought a treadmill, Jeremy. I'm not putting in the effort. I'm not, you know, going to get healthy if I don't put in all the time I need to do it. So I feel like when it comes to test preparation, you have to make sure that the effort's there, the consistency is there, and that you actually realize that you have a goal in mind, and that kind of keeps you motivated.
Okay, I want to go from the class of 2017 to the class of 2015, who are finding out right now whether they get into the colleges that they have applied to. What would be your advice right now to them and their families as they go through that process?
These college outcomes do not define how wonderful these kids are, because the way that the admissions landscape is today, we have kids that are waiting for outcomes, and oftentimes if they don't get into where they really wanted to go, they just kind of feel destroyed. I often feel like I'm a rescue counselor in the spring semester. And what I think parents need to do is start the tone right now, even before these outcomes come. Start telling your child, I love you unconditionally. It doesn't matter where you go. I'll wear any sweatshirt. I'll put any bumper sticker on my car. Because where you go doesn't define who you are. It doesn't define your future success. It definitely doesn't define how much money you're going to make. So I think setting that tone before they even come out is so important, because the outcomes are hard. I mean, there are kids that are going to be celebrating. There are kids that are going to feel very disappointed, and some of them will even feel destroyed. We often have to remind them their future is not defined by one college.
But it might be easier said than done in a way that they're still going to feel, whether they get in or don't get into the colleges of their choice,
absolutely,
that it does matter to their future.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's where I often just like to remind students. I'm like, look, let's really think about this. You know, where did someone maybe that they have in their life who's a role model go to school, or maybe even talking with where some of their family members went to school? I think sometimes right now we have such an obsession over a small list of schools that if you really think of who's in your life, who you really love, look up to, maybe even admire. I think about our own faculty at Uni High where I work. Our students adore our faculty. We don't have an entire faculty that went to Ivy League schools, and our kids absolutely adore them and admire them and, you know, work with them. So I always try to help students remember, I know it hurts. I'm going to validate that, and I'm right there with you. I even tell students I would love to send a sympathy card to that college because I know they lost a fabulous student. Seriously, I could, like, invest in a stack of those in my office because I do think, Jeremy, it's hard. I understand it. Everyone has that disappointment. But we have to remind them, when they built that college list, you know, let's remind you why those schools were on your list in the first place and get you excited so that when you go off to orientation, you're there in the moment. You're growing where you're planted. What I don't want, Jeremy, is a student to go off to college and start off and think, I wonder what it would have been like if I would have been at the X school that denied me. Then you're already setting yourself up for disappointment. Go there. There was a reason why that fit happened. Grow where you're planted and just be the best student you can be wherever you land.
Lisa Maselli, Director of College Counseling at the University of Illinois Laboratory High School in Urbana, Illinois. And we've got some tips from Lisa for sophomores as they prepare for some of these changes from the PSAT that we've been talking about at our website, hereandnow.org. Lisa, thanks so much as always.
Thank you, Jeremy.